How has your role kind of evolved since you joined Coach Prime here at CU?
Well, you know, mostly, you know, my role has always been an energetic guy. You know, I'm very passionate in what I do, very energetic, breaking down defenses of the opposing teams, things like that. And now I'm stepping more into the role of really just more hands-on in developing these guys on the field, right, and also off the field too as well. We want them to be good athletes, but most importantly, we want them to be good young men when they get out to the real world. Well, I think Coach J. Phil said it first off, man, speed, right? Speed. Speed is the name of the game that we have, right? We want to have a track team on the grass, and that's what we have right now. And when you think about those guys like LeJonte and Jimmy right there, we feel that we went out and got the right guys, right, that can, you know, take on that production that we did lose from them. When you're talking about a Danny and a Cam, and then you want to look into the same exact eyes of what you saw in Jimmy Horn and LeJonte Western. So, yeah.
BustingThePete.com. Talk about your learning process. When you get a new offense, how do you go about attacking that? And then what is the teaching process and, like, how are you trying to help your players too?
Oh, well, when you're talking about learning a new offense, man, you just want to make sure you put your guys in a good point to where you can simplify it for them, right? So we have installs that we do. We don't throw the full playbook at them, so we'll break it down by installs and just understanding the concepts. We want to understand the concepts with the plays, and then we'll get it from there. So just understanding the installs piece by piece. And the guys, they're putting the extra time in. I mean, it's almost every day you see guys like Danny and Cam. They're up here every day in our office. I mean, with me and Coach J. Field, they're up here working and learning the playbook. So they're buying into it.
Coach J. Field mentioned that. Obviously, you guys got a couple guys banged up right now, like JoJo, DeAndre. You know, high key. So how do you just go about making sure that they kind of stay engaged even though they can't participate on the field and, you know, make sure they don't fall too far behind in terms of the installing
on that? Well, that was one of the things when we went out in the portal. We wanted to bring a guy in that, you know, can symbolize leadership, right, and has done it before. And that's who we see as DeAndre, right? So he doesn't have to be told what to do, right? So he's always taking those extra steps of coming to me and Coach J. Phil, like, Coach, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? Right, and he's helping other groups, and you seeing Joseph Wynn actually follow on in that same aspect, right? And Joseph's coming up every day. He's getting into his playbook now. He knows he can't be out there physically, but mentally we're getting those mental reps, right? So making sure we stay involved in the playbook, getting on the board with the guys, and then also helping those guys when they come off on the sideline, right, for a break, and just being that mental piece for them too as well.
All right, welcome into a new Buff Stampede Radio. Adam Unstertiger, the publisher of BuffStampede.com, joined by football analyst William Gardner. We had a little bit of technical difficulties getting this show off the ground, but William, I got to hear that voice because I've been here there for a while.
Adam was trying to mute me, and I refused to come on the show without being able to talk. So, you know, there it is.
Good stuff there from Rashad Davis to lead off the show. Those receivers are going to have fun in this offense.
Yeah, I think that the offense looks really good. I want to start though with a quote from Brian. And you guys did a analysis on Preston Ashley, and he said if you interact with Preston Ashley on any given day, you couldn't help but have a better day. That's how you feel about me, right? Isn't it?
I love you, brother. I don't know how deep do you want me to go here.
Yeah, we'll leave it be. You know, just fishing for a little compliment there. So.
We've been through some things covering the Colorado Buffaloes, and we tried not to make us completely jaded, right? Like, we've got to, like, try to find that optimism this time of year. And I gotta say, there's some fun stuff happening in Boulder this spring.
Yeah. Well, you know, you got to have fun with it. And just out of curiosity, do we have our actual starting center in the chat? But yeah, you know, we've been at, well, okay, I was gonna say 40 years. You haven't been at this in 40 years. You've barely been around. You're young enough to be my grandson, I guess. But yeah, I've been following.
Let's do the math on that one. I gotta correct you on that. How old are you?
I'm 61.
46. How am I your grandson?
Yeah, you know.
Do the math there. Come on, man.
I was active young. We'll put it that way. But no, I've been following CU football for 40 years, man. So, you know, and most of the last 15 years has been pretty futile, you know, but still you go into spring and you're looking for things to be upbeat about. You're looking for things to be optimistic about, because otherwise, why the hell even follow it? You know, I mean, if you can't find a reason to have some hope in March, I'm not sure why to be a fan, because there wouldn't be any fun in it. You know what I'm saying? So you look at everything, and it's exciting to me to watch all the video of stuff and hear what people are saying. You know, one of the things is you asked about, well, we're going to talk about sharing thoughts and observations from practice and reactions to interviews. Well, honestly, I don't really listen to interviews anymore. Because to me, it's all just talk until, you know, I got to see with my own eyes and make my own stuff. Because what you hear from people in interviews is, I don't know what they hear or what their spin is or whatever else. And I'm just kind of tired of talk at this point. I just want to see some results, you know. And so I watch the video and I can see with my own eyes what I see, you know.
You're kind of messing with my job, though.
I know. Yeah. Well, that's just me, man. That's not everybody. Other people want to hear what people have to say. You know, I mean, I've coached a lot of football, and I know what coaches have to say. And sometimes they're going to give you some information. Sometimes they aren't. But I don't know. You know.
No, I know. I'll be honest with you, William. I think I have some weaknesses as a reporter. Sometimes I don't want to like get in people's face. I like more of those like background, one-on-one, you kind of like get to the bottom of things, and that's where you break scoop.
Yeah. I
definitely don't want to be that person that is what you're projecting in terms of just always being out there and just throwing things out there.
Well, I like what I enjoy is some of the things that are not necessarily less football related. So like, you know, interviews with the new players and get to know them a little bit and see their personalities and see what they like. For example, you know, it's interesting in the last week or two to me how many of the defensive backs said they came to see you specifically to play for Coach Prime, right? And then hearing I don't know which coach was talking about Boo Carter and how he's doing and all sorts of things, and those sorts of things, you know. And then you listen to me, I listen to interviews for you know, crumbs that fall out somewhere, you know, or things that you can try to derive something from or whatever. But so I don't know, you know, and I guess it is Demetrius Hunter's dad in the chat, so
yeah. And good for him. He's been balling out this spring.
Yeah,
he's great. Had a good spring so far from everything I've heard.
Yeah, I mean, in fact, I don't know if I'll just put this out there right now. I was watching the various films and everything. As best I can tell, that first O-line right now is Leon Bell at left tackle, Chauncey Gooden at left guard, Demetrius at center, Jose Soto at right guard, and Larry Johnson at right tackle. And they look pretty good.
Yeah. Although, and then the second team is Bo Dooley right now, Yaya Atia, Sean Kenny, Xavier Payne, and Larry Johnson the third. But I think that's pretty interchangeable. I think that's like a very solid 10 group right there.
Right. Sometimes you see that second group with Javon McFadden in there, and I'm seeing a lot of Xavier Payne, which I told you guys watch that kid early. One of the things I was going to say, you get back to the universal spring issue is I haven't seen a pass rush yet. I have not seen a pass rush. And again, you ask yourself, does that mean our offensive line is doing really darn good, or are we lacking a pass rush? Who knows until you play someone else, you know? But I think those tackles are doing a good job. So I'd like to see, I don't know, I guess I'd like to see a pass rush, but I don't want to see the offensive line look bad either. That's the problem with when you're going against yourself, you know?
Yeah, and I hope someday that Coach Prime gets his wish in Boulder where they could actually like that 3-day window where you practice against a team, take a day off, and do a scrimmage against each other. Like, that would be really fun. And you could go, you know, home and home. You know, do one at Syracuse, do one here. That would be a lot of fun.
I really think that sometimes we
take out the entertainment value of what this really could be this time of year.
Yeah, And I can't understand what the downside of it would be, you know, and you're trying to promote the sport and get people interested in it. That'd be something that'd be a heck of a lot of fun, because we might actually be able to derive something from that. You know, what was it, Syracuse that he's been talking to 2 years in a row?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So
match up against Syracuse and we don't have a pass rush and we got a problem, you know. But then we match up against Syracuse and they don't have a pass rush. That says maybe our offensive line is pretty good, you know. Now, you know, I like to follow that offensive line, and everybody says, I say the offensive line is going to be good every year, which I don't, but I don't know. We got some big mobile dudes out there this year.
Yep.
There's a hell of a lot of size out there.
I'll tell you, William, Chris Marv, I don't know what this defense is going to produce in 2026. But I know that it's not going to be a lack of passion for that dude. He seems like a really good addition from that side of things. Now, the proof is in the pudding. We'll see there when they kick things off in late August. But I like the energy he brings.
Well, and not just him, but Brennan Marion as well. And there's a quote that I wrote down from one of the practices, and he's got the offense over on the sideline, and he says, I told you all they don't want to practice. Put your foot on their neck and choke them out. I almost cried. I was like, that's what I've been waiting for on this team from a coach. That's football, man. If you don't like that, then you probably don't like football. I mean, then you're probably too sensitive. I don't know. But that's what I want to hear from these coaches, is get out there and you don't let down, because they don't want to play. You play even harder. Now, that's probably hopefully going to motivate Marv to kick them in the backside and get them working harder too. But I'm impressed from that side of it with both of the coordinators, that they're both almost 180 degrees different from their predecessors on either side of the ball, you know. And whenever you're ready, I can step there. There is a lot to say about this offense. I think on the defense, the linebackers and the secondaries look really good in many times. And I think the linebackers are playing pretty well. I'm not sure about up front, in particular the pass rush from the defensive ends. But the other thing that I'm seeing on this team is there is a whole leadership on this team that was not there last year. And, you know, some of the guys, there's new guys like Isaac Wilson and Danny Scudero and Brandon Fontenette, and Tyler Martinez is a little bit of a surprise to me, is stepping up in that area. And then, you know, Joseph Williams and Ben Finneseth and Yaya Atti, you would expect, but there seems to be a whole different mentality and energy and togetherness on this team than a year ago. So we'll see.
To build off that, I'm not worried about this receivers group in 2026. You've got young guys like Alex Ward that are showing up, Quinnell Farrakhan. You've got some veteran guys that are injured, but Ernest Campbell, as we heard, I think it was Coach Schaub that said he might be the fastest man in college football. Cadero and Camperia are showing out.
Is that who you're saying?
Ernest Williams. Ernest Campbell.
Yeah, I was thinking that. I said that to somebody recently. It's like, you know, we will have the fastest guy on the field in every game we play this year, I would bet.
Yeah.
Whether he turns that into production remains to be seen, but it's a weapon that you like to have. And let me tell you something else. You talk about speed. You could almost make an argument that this offense, when Brandon Marion thought it up, was designed for DeKalen Taylor. Designed. I mean, he's going to just go nuts in this offense. One of the things I saw, they run a true two running back triple option. You know, and like, you had to be old like me to remember the old triple option when it was the thing. You had fullback and the halfbacks and whatever. They're running a downhill. Now those options would go lateral, right? You know, so that your fullback goes straight ahead and then the quarterback and backs would go sideways. We are running a true downhill triple option where we first option is to the inside running back. The second option is to the outside running back. And it hits the edge so damn fast and at full speed. Then the pitch to DeKalen Taylor, one of them went for a touchdown, you know. And then there was another play where it was a true, honest to God, old school screen pass. You know, let the defensive lineman penetrate, just toss it over their heads. you know, with a lineman in front of you, and DeKalen Taylor runs for a big run on that one. And then there's another one where there's a quick pitch, just the old school quick pitch, take the snap and there it goes. And you just let him get his speed to the edge, man. And we're going to gash some teams on some of this stuff.
Yeah, that Isaac Wilson to DeKalen Taylor touchdown was one of those things that, like, and I want to say with Juju this past week, it felt like he was getting the ball out a little bit quicker.
Yeah. Well, he looks great. Sorry, go ahead.
No, he just – he's seems like he's developing into the system. And that's why last week when there was the Isaac Wilson just overwhelming support, it was like, let Juju figure this out.
Well,
I think he is.
The other side of it, though, is that Wilson continues to impress. And quite frankly, I really watched Sweetwine for the first time, and he's an impressive-looking quarterback. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you have the mental part of it down, but when he stands back in the pocket, he's got a nice throwing motion. He stands tall and straight. He's got a bright future, that kid. So all three of those guys, you know, we've last year would be an example. We've gone into games with less quarterbacking than we would have from Keneal Sweetwine. So this is the first time I can remember that we could go into a game and you put all three of those guys, and I think we could survive, you know.
When's the last time CU had a 1-2-3 scholarship combination at quarterback that would match up with perspective?
I think we're going to go way back, and I'm going to say it's going to be Slash and Coy Detmer and the third kid who ended up being a starter in a few years after that, blanking on my mind. Cordell Stewart, Coy Detmer, and John Hessler would be what I would go to.
Okay. And that's a while ago.
Yeah, that's mid-90s, brother.
Yeah, you got grainy video on YouTube if you're going back to that era. So,
and you were still playing with toys.
It's one of those things that I go back to, William, with a lot of these positions with Colorado is like, I feel like the floor is pretty decent. Yeah. What is the ceiling? You know?
Right.
And it's hard to predict at this point.
Yeah, it remains to be seen. I think, you know, it's easy to get very excited about what you see in spring. Again, you don't know what you're seeing because you're going against yourself. But there's a lot of good things happening, I think, this spring. The other thing that kind of jumped out at me was they're doing – remember 2 years ago before the 1994 season when we won 9 games, they were really stressing the leadership, and they were doing things like a leadership retreat. And
yeah.
The other day they did a thing where people got to call out their own mistakes and then do up-downs and stuff like that. And people may think that's gimmicky, but, you know, it's the little things. It's how you teach guys to be responsible for their own selves and things like that. And so I think we're seeing that stuff this year. We didn't see it last year. And I don't know. You know, I go back. I think I say this every week, but I think you can't overstate the fact that Coach Prime was fighting for his life last year, you know, and it changes things, you know, and we got a different guy out there this year. It's quite apparent to me.
Yeah. Other thoughts from early preseason practices, Michael Welch broke off a nice run. Quentin Gibson seemed to have a nice scrimmage. Quinnell Expert on had a nice week of practice. Jason Stokes Jr., a cornerback transfer from Utah, made in a couple of nice plays. Cree Thomas with a pick on a tip pass.
Yeah, that's what I think. I think the receivers and the defensive backs are going to war out there, and I think they're all good. They all look good. But you know,
That's like one group going together. Like you said, you don't know what you have until you go against another team. But those DBs and receivers at CU, like, that's legit competition. Yeah. Like you can tell the difference in that.
Now, I heard two different people this week say that Boot Carter's the most talented guy they've seen aside from Travis, you know. One was his coach and one was Brian, and you know, those are both guys that have seen a lot of dudes, you know. So that's a guy I think if he keeps his head on right, is gonna be special. But you know, I think that the big question mark is still that defensive line. The edges are not getting the pressure, but then again, is it the tackle? I don't know, you know. But I'm concerned about the defensive line, but the linebackers and the defensive backs have looked good. I don't know. There's quite a few things that kind of jump out to me. All the running backs look good. I like what I see from Johnny Mack as a running back coach. He's got a lot of fire, too, in getting those guys running hard. If you're a running back in this offense, you've got to be pretty happy because it's really going to be – you're going to get the ball in some good situations, and it's up to you what you do with it.
Yeah.
Another guy that's kind of stood out to me is Fisher Clemens, the big tight end from Northern Colorado in pass protection. I haven't seen him so much catching passes, but he's a damn valuable option, damn valuable guy. You put him as a tight end out there, in-line tight end, and he can take on a defensive end, and he's done pretty good. Now, does that say our defensive end are struggling because they can't get past the tight end? I don't know, but the dude's 6'7", 265, so it's not like they're – you know, getting beat by a little guy. So that's another, I think there's going to be a lot of, this offense is going to be exciting and fun. Richard Young had some nice looks out there. Mm-hmm. Michael Welch had one nice, really nice play.
Bryce Hicks had a touchdown, the transfer walk on running back from West Georgia.
Yeah, that was fun. That was a fun play. And that was quick throw, I think, out of the backfield as well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But one, that's one of the things
about this. Isaac Wilson just seems savvy in this offense, isn't he? Yeah. Doesn't it just seem like it kind of just fits what, like, he does best?
Well, and it's an offense, so, you know, you don't want a guy – this offense is built around getting the ball out on the edge fast to real athletes, you know. So you got the quick mm-hmm. pass, the real option, quick pitch – and like that triple option, every single play that this offense runs, so far as I can see, and based on what Marion has done in the past, has three potential plays or three potential options, you know, inside back and outside back and a pass, you know, and so that's going to stress a defense. And, you know, I'm sure Marion, I mean, when a good offense is out there, you have somebody up in the press box and you're watching, you know, the coordinator say, here's what I want you to watch for, right? So we're going to run this play. You tell me what the backside defensive end does, okay? And if they don't stay home and they go freelance, and then you're going to do something that comes back and burns them, right? And so this offense is tailor-made to take advantage of whatever things the defense changes or anything they're not doing right. And I think we're going to see a lot of fun things from this offense. I think there's guys out there that can really play.
Anything else to add from week three of spring ball before we get into our amazing ad read here coming up?
I don't know. There's all kinds of little things that occur to me through the week as I'm watching it, and little things that you see and what have you. I think they're working.
Jordan was back on campus. That was cool to see.
Yeah, that was fun. Yeah. You know, they're working hard. I think they're having fun, which I think, you know, people say, it doesn't matter if you're having fun. It actually does, you know, because you get more done, you get more out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You're having fun with it. And it's like, I think another thing Brandon Marion said, or maybe it was Johnny Mack, I don't know, one of those offensive coaches was like, this is why you do all that work in there, so that you can come out here and kick ass and do your thing, you know. So I think they're tying that together, and I think this is clearly, to me, the best staff that Coach Prime has had, you know, and seeing some good things out there.
Yeah, Josh Niblett, like, I was telling my wife as we were watching John Snelson's latest video on CU, I was like, he's very heavy God, but, like, it is, like, from the most genuine place. And he's from the South, and it just, like, I think what most people want is genuine people, right?
Right, right.
And I think that's what Josh Niblett is. And I really enjoy watching just kind of how he interacts with people as they've gotten to Bowler.
Yeah, and I think he's a great addition to the the staff as well. He's got a lot of football experience. He's got a lot of fire. He cares about players, and that goes a long way too. You know, so I think he's a great addition on that offense, and I think he's going to help with the recruiting too, which is a lot of times where you stick a big recruiter as a tight end coach. You know, he's only three or four guys, but I think he's also going to develop those players as well and teach them how they're doing. Like, you know, you take a guy like Fisher Clemens coming from Northern Colorado. He ain't never seen many defensive ends and outside linebackers like he's seeing now. And he's doing a pretty good job, you know? So I think he's getting coached up and doing well. And I don't know. It's just, there's a lot of excitement. I think that the three offensive line coaches continue to do a good job. You know, and I guess I'm just going to keep coming back to that defensive line with a rookie coach and not enough talent, but I hope they get some guys in this offseason to help fill that in a little bit.
We're going to talk about our favorite food. We're going to talk about our Buffs that have exceeded expectations the most through 9 spring practices. We're going to give it a shout out to Oliver Hayes on the other side of it.
Chicken bacon ranch street chalupas and a chicken bacon ranch nacho fry option at Taco Bell. This is Taco Bell at it again with the best innovation in the industry. And now they are combining their savory slow roasted chicken inside a cult classic format with their new limited time only chicken bacon ranch street chalupas. Get your set of 2 street-sized chalupa shells filled with slow-roasted chicken, flavorful bacon, freshly prepared pico de gallo, shredded cheese, and avocado ranch sauce. And this is a chalupa shell that is coated with cheddar, so you can't go wrong here. Taco Bell isn't just limiting this Americana flavor combination to its street chalupa format. But why not get this pairing on Taco Bell's iconic nacho fries? These loaded fries deliver everything you love about nacho fries, but also leveled up with slow roasted chicken, bacon, nacho cheese, pico de gallo, and avocado ranch sauce. And don't forget to add one of the new items from the Taco Bell Lux Value Menu with 10 items for $3 or under. The Lux Value Menu at Taco Bell delivers bold, irresistible flavor and crave-worthy items at unbelievable prices. Nobody delivers everyday value and supports your hometown teams like Taco Bell. Live Moss at Taco Bell.
All right, so Taco Bell does not exist. What is your four-course meal? I don't know. I don't want to call it a last meal. That sounds pretty morbid. But like, if you were to pick the perfect 4-course meal and you had like a week to prepare for it, looking forward to the restaurant, what would you have them bring out to you?
Oh my God, man. You know, my pal is pretty easy to please. You know, when you spend 4 years in the Marine Corps right out of high school, you eat what you're given, you eat it out of the dirt. You don't get I don't know what's, I don't even know what, so I'm such a rube. I don't even know what the 4 different courses are. I guess there's dessert and entree.
Well, let's start with salad. What's your salad or soup?
I wouldn't pick a salad necessarily. You know, I'm eating the weeds right now because the doctor says I have to, but, I guess I would take I don't know. I'm trying to think of what kind of a soup I like. I don't know. Maybe a clam chowder or something like that.
Clam chowder, solid choice. I'm going to go a Caesar salad for my first one. Some good bread out there, obviously. Like, you know, I know a lot of the fancy steakhouses have good sourdough, or even an Outback steakhouse can produce some good bread. So I want that with that. What's your main course?
Oh man, I don't know. I have different tastes for different days, I think, but probably just I'd want a really good steak, a really top of the line.
Okay, I'm going prime rib and au gratin potatoes.
Yeah, prime rib's never been a big thing for me. I don't know. You know, it's not been my deal so much.
No, okay.
Au gratin potatoes will work though. There's a thing. They have a thing at actually, you know what, the if you ever been to Ruth's Chris Drake Steakhouse, they got a filet that's pretty amazing, and then they've got this thing called a sweet potato casserole, and it could be a dessert, frankly, but
okay,
pretty amazing.
That's your fourth course. Is that dessert at Ruth's Chris? I'd probably go with a whole pumpkin pie. It's got to be cold. I got to have it in the fridge with some whipped cream.
No, that's the one area where I'm kind of a snob. So I want something hot, you know, like a really top of the line cheesecake or chocolate tort or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I don't know. We hit three courses. I don't know if we hit four. I'll go shrimp cocktail if I got to add in an appetizer on there.
Yeah. Going, you know, going back to us looking at some of the comments on the board, and one thing
you're moving on all food content, which is good. We need that. Yeah.
Well, I'm supposed to be losing weight and getting blood pressure down and all that sort of stuff. So,
yeah. Look, isn't that good conversation?
Look, I even went with a classy shirt today with a collar and everything. Nobody mentioned it. But, yeah, looking at one thing to remind people that, like, so, you know, when I say I don't see a pass rush, I'm sorry, I watch the video that's out there and I don't see a pass rush. But then again, we see what they give us to see, you know, and so maybe they're, I don't know why the various people that are making video and put it out there make their choices that they do. Maybe that's in concert with the coaches or whatever, or maybe it's just not interesting to see pass rush, you know, when they can't take the quarterback down. I don't know, but I don't see it yet, you know, and I think I see sometimes when the defensive line is fairly stout, but I'm not seeing those big pass rushes from the defensive ends particularly. And we're not seeing enough, I think, really, of you know what we're given to see is a handpicked highlights to I don't know, support whatever division is of the person editing, you know. So we're not seeing every play out there, and you really can't know what's going on without being able to see everything out there. And the other thing to remember is that what we'll see in fall camp will end up being significantly different than what we're seeing now, even though people can't leave in another portal, because guys continue to work and continue to develop and continue to get better, you know. And this is an opportunity, I think, like, you know, like some guys know this offense because it came with Marion, and other guys will catch up and learn it better as time goes along. So what we're seeing now is just sort of a snapshot several months out from what we're going to see in the fall.
And we got a question from Trey Avery 09. Adam, have you all done the rankings yet on players this offseason yet? No, we wait till the end of spring ball to do that. That's going to be a fun feature this year. I mean, we're going to be splitting so many hairs on that. It's going to be maybe the toughest one we've ever put together.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it's going to be an issue. Trying to pick this one this year, maybe even picking the top guy. But it's going to be tough, especially when you get down to number 40 and who you're going to keep in and who you're not going to keep in. So,
yeah. It's going to be, again, a lot of splitting of the hairs. You talked about the edge group. I would say that Emmanuel Iziogu is one of the guys that is like one of the lowest floor, highest ceiling players I've ever covered at the University of Colorado.
Yeah, expand on that a little bit.
Transferring in from James Madison Edge, he is everything you want at that position, from size, speed, athleticism. Is the production going to be there?
Right. And, you know, another person that I saw in one of the plays from this last week was Quincy Wiggins playing inside on what was obviously a passing down. I think he was playing over to center, or probably in a one technique or a two eye or something like that, and getting a really good push up the middle and getting a hand up. The quarterback got the pass off and got a long catch downfield. But Quincy Wiggins is another one that I think still has unlimited potential. I don't like seeing him in the middle of the line, but you know, if he's getting up closer to 260, 270, he'll do better at that. But he's a guy I think that you can move all around the line. But he always gives us something exciting in spring. You know, I think he started off pretty well in the first two or three games last year, and then they had to move him inside because of all the injuries. So there are some guys out there, and I think there's still plenty of time for the edge position to show itself, and there's a lot of new guys on there, I think, that have a lot of potential.
Is your business growing but not quite ready for a full-time CFO? Macaulay Capital offers fractional CFO services for companies doing more than $3 million in annual revenue. You get expert financial leadership without the full cost. Learn more about how you can improve your business's profitability and cash management at MacaulayCapital.com. If you know Boulder, you know the Hungry Toad. We've been serving this town since 1991, long before the lines on Pearl Street. Just north of campus, we're your local British pub with proper fish and chips, quality burgers, a scratch kitchen, real English cask ale, and no tourist fluff. We support CU football, women's soccer, and the loyal fans who keep it local. The Hungry Toad, Boulder born, Buffs proud.
Hey, all right. I can't do it.
Yeah, there's a message on the chat line from Mr. Hunter asked saying, I hope they're good. There seems to be a lot of negativity towards the team. And I think that's something interesting to talk about, whether it's local or national or whatever. There seems to be a lot of anticipation that we won't be very good, but it seems to me that most of the people commenting about that don't really know what's going on with this team very much.
It's tough, man. It's tough to build up the stamina to go at those national people after 3-9, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, national prognostications for 40, 50 years have been usually based on what you did last year, you know. And to an extent, before you had the transfer portal, that made sense, right? Because you mostly got the same guys back. You know, you couldn't get a team without a transfer portal back in the day. But now, you know, so like 2 years ago, we brought in the right guys, you know, and we got 9 wins. Last year, we didn't bring in the right guys and we got 3 wins. So where are we this year? I think there's a lot of promising players we brought in. And there's a lot of promising things about this team and what they're doing and Coach Prime being healthy and what have you. I don't see 3 wins as being realistic. I think this is a bowl team. Now, whether that's a 6-win bowl team or more than that remains to be seen. But I don't think most of the people pitching most of the negativity right now. It's too early to say, you know, it's too early to say this is going to be a 3-win or a 9-win team. We don't know enough yet.
I guess this is a really loaded question thrown at you, William, but what should CU fans expect in 2026 to keep that optimism with Coach Prime and his staff alive?
Say it again.
Like, what win total would make you feel like CU fans should be optimistic about the situation going forward under Coach Prime?
Well, I think as an absolute minimum, there has to be 6 wins. I mean, we have to go to a bowl. Beyond that, I think to feel like we're moving in the right direction, I'd want to see 7, you know, anything beyond 7. And I think we're really, really looking good and rolling.
Okay.
I don't think our schedule is so overwhelming that looking for 6 wins is crazy, you know, but I think there's again, lots of reasons to feel optimistic at this point. But we've all been burned by it before, so I get the pessimism and what have you, you know.
Yeah.
And I see, I don't know, you know, somebody's taking me to task. I understand football, brother. I know what they're doing. I know they're doing quick passes and screens and whatever, but there's also plenty of plays out there where the quarterback is standing back in the pocket and doing more traditional drop back passing, and they're not getting to them. So, you know, I understand that that's not going to be the offense that we're not going to run the offense we ran the last 2 years. We're 40 passes a game, 50 passes a game. But I still think I would like to see more penetration and more more something from the edge players when there is a quarterback standing in the pocket. I haven't seen it yet. You know, does that mean, I know on our right side that they've been using that tight end to stay in there and help out. And I think that on that left side, Leon Bell's been looking pretty good at that left tackle. So again, I don't know what to tell you, man. I'm not seeing the pass rush, but we're not seeing a lot of drop back passes either. But again, we're going against ourselves, so I don't know what it means. You know, so
which guys on the Colorado's roster exceeded your expectations during nine spring practice?
It's kind of a tough question because I don't know that I had expectations. I think I wanted to see most of these guys are so new, you know, that you don't know what to see. I think a couple names came to list. I think Keneal Sweetwine clearly exceeded anything. You know, I think we all thought, and I'll admit that I thought, you know, that guy's not going to be a factor. He's a true freshman that picked up late, but he's turned out to be a hell of a guy. I think I had high expectations for Isaac Wilson, so I'm not super surprised by what we see. I think Fisher Clements, again, in run and pass protection, run blocking and pass protection, I think has exceeded my expectations. I'd like to see a more factor in the pass catching. Tyler Martinez, on a variety of levels, I think has exceeded. I liked him to begin with. I think a lot of people didn't. They kind of didn't expect him to do much because they were thinking more of Lampron and the kid from Texas. Can't blank on him.
Lufau.
Yeah, Lufau, you know. But I think Tyler Martinez has done really well, and I think he's shown a lot of leadership. He's another guy that's got 4 or 5 years of college football under his belt and can really lead these guys. So those are really the only four names that come to mind for me. Let me see. What's the big? I think Javon McFadden's done pretty well, but that's not too unexpected given how highly rated he was and coming from Ohio State. Aside from that, I think, you know, every one of these. I guess Nathan Mitchell. I mean, keeps coming up every practice, right?
He's a player, man. Right. He is a player. Everybody that I've talked to. I just kind of like subtly ask quietly, who's standing out? Nate Mitchell comes up more than any other name on this. He's a good player.
Yeah. I just hope he holds up given his size. He's not the biggest guy, but we are two leading
safety. No, Byer wasn't either. But you have that heart. And that's another thing I said. I just hope his body holds up through those 12, 13, 14, 15 games, whatever the Buffaloes have, 26.
Yeah. So I think those are the names. I don't know. Do you have anybody else that says has exceeded your expectation?
Well, I had high expectations for Braylon Edwards, the incoming safety addition. That dude's a baller. He's the dog.
Yeah. I can say
good addition there.
He's played great.
Yeah. Quinnell Farrakhan. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I did. He doesn't surprise me because I expected, you know, I've seen his skill set and I expected him to start showing out. So that's what I say. A lot of them don't surprise me because I expected him to do pretty well, you know.
What about Maurice Williams? We liked him coming in.
Yeah.
From Edna Carr as a cornerback. Coach Prime sees something in him. You can tell that.
Well, and it's interesting to hear, you know, the defensive backs coach talk about that all three of those true freshmen are going to see playing time and not like, you know, trying to fit them in, but actually being part of the rotation. And they've all three shown out a little bit to begin with. You know, you and I, we did that recruit going over Preston Ashley's film, you know, and we both just were blown away by that, you know. It's like, holy crap.
I'm blown away not only by his film, but his personality as well.
Yeah.
He is how every college in the country didn't offer that kid just to have him in the locker room.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is a mistake because he's a gem. He is.
Yeah. So I don't know, you know, there's some guys that have stood out, but I Some of them I didn't have expectations for yet, and others I really thought they'd do pretty well anyway. But I don't know. I think there's a message on the chat from I think it's Ant Hits. I don't know what it is, but talked about the D line is fine. Watch the go-go offense, and yeah, that I think that's what I was saying a minute ago is that this offense is that they set the defense up for failure because everything happens very quickly and they hit the ball and they hit the edges pretty fast. And so, but that's what we've been saying all day and all spring though, you know, you can't really tell what we have because we're going against ourselves, you know, until you see it against another team, it's hard to know what you have in many cases. Then the other comment I saw on here was Andre Bradford talked about year two, Coach Prime was able to get who he wanted, got 9 wins, third year fighting for his life, and depending on others. And I agree with that too. You know that they all admit they didn't get the right guys. But what I liked about this spring was Coach Prime very specifically has talked a great deal about how he watched the film of every single player they brought in to make sure they were the right fit. You know. I have legit reasons why he wasn't doing that last year, you know, and so I think that's going to make a big difference this year and a lot of different things like that.
All right, at BuffStampede.com, we're running a 5 months for $1 special. If you can join us at On3/Rivals, it's been kind of a coming home for me in the last month. Shout out to Oliver Hayes, who has done a great job covering Colorado basketball for us. William, he's broken down 2 commitments this week. He's dealt with Isaiah Johnson leaving and Isaiah and Hargris coming back. But so it's been a long week for Oliver. So I appreciate him.
You know, I said Coach Prime has his best staff yet. I think you may have your best staff yet. You know, these young guys.
I think so. Yeah.
Leo and all those guys. I mean, you know, you just keep me along. You keep me around because I'm comfortable. You, like old shoes, you know.
I like the diversity that we have on our staff, from ages to just different perspectives. But we all get along really well. BuffStampede.com.
Yeah, and good people, you know. So I think that's going to be fun for people. And, you know, hopefully moving forward, we have a lot more positive to talk about. But we'll see, you know.
Yeah.
There's a question on here from Toner23. He said the practices have been more physical than previous years. Do you think it will lead to a tougher team? Well, I don't know that necessarily practices lead to the toughness. I think expectations from coaches and also the personalities of the players. I don't know if anybody's seen any of the video of Gideon Lampron and how he plays. He's going to knock some dudes out, you know. But when you got guys like that on your team, you know, and like 2 years ago in 94, you know, say what you will about Shiloh and Cam, Silma and Craig, but they were tough guys, you know, and they were hard-hitting players and played injured and whatever. Because toughness to me is not necessarily about how hard you hit, always. Sometimes it's about how you play through pain and show up when you're needed and whatever. But I think there's a whole different energy and focus to these practices. And I think there's 2 entirely different coordinators who bring an entirely different mindset to both of those units. And I think that both Marv and Marion are highly competitive dudes, you know. And so when your offensive coordinator pulls you over after you just scored a touchdown and says put your foot on their throats and choke them out, he's got expectations, and if you don't meet those expectations, you're going to hear about it, you know. And by the same token, Chris Marv has got a lot of pride in what he does, and I don't imagine he likes being on the other side getting his ass kicked, you know. So I think that there's going to be toughness on this team. I think they've got a good coaching staff. I think those offensive line coaches are good and tough. You know, there wasn't anybody tougher in a damn game at his prime than Andre Giroud. You know, that block he had in that 60 that went over Nebraska when he took that outside linebacker and pinned him against the back wall to end zone. I'd have snuck out, man. I've been like, damn, dude, just pin me against the rail. I'm out of here.
I think the main thing, I'm sorry to cut you off, but
no.
I think the main thing is that, like, we see the passion and fire in this football. This spring is which is what we wanted to see.
Yeah. And it's competition, it's competitive, you know. I mean, there's nothing that's given away. I mean, you know, I'll tell you this, in all 40 plus years of playing and coaching football, and particularly offensive line, you know, I named off what was the starting five right now in that offensive line. It won't be the same guys by the end of next season, because it never is, you know.
Yeah.
And guys get better, guys get worse, guys get injured, guys step up. But what you've got right now is a real honest to God competition. And I love the coaches saying that these three freshman defensive backs are going to be in the mix, because that just says, you come here, man, and you're the best guy, you're going to play, you know. And that's how it ought to be. I don't give a damn how old you are or what you've done in the past. You know, you show out and show up, and you're going to have an opportunity. And I think when guys have a fair opportunity, it makes the hard work have more meaning.
No doubt. Have you claimed your free tickets to the spring game yet?
Not yet. I'll get on that. I'll have to get that done.
You can get six of them. I think that's the rule, right? Or is it five?
I thought it was five. Five sounds more realistic.
Five.
Yeah.
Should we do like a chat thing? Like four people can join William Gardner at the spring game. Can we have a fun sweepstakes here on Love Stampede Radio Live?
I think most people would pay $5 to avoid having to spend an afternoon with me.
Well, my email address is adamcm777@gmail.com. If you want to go to the spring game with William Gardner, I'm gonna forward these requests on to him. Is that okay?
Yeah,
I just put that out there.
Yeah,
you got anything going on April 11th?
Just don't forward all the ones that say that guy sucks and he's a schmuck. And
we got one already. Come on, William. I want you to be a man of the people on April 11th. What is the temperature going to be like? It's been pretty brutal weather-wise under Coach Prime, spring game-wise at Folsom Field. I think the last 3 years it's been very cold.
Well, and I would say, given that we basically haven't had any brutal days this entire winter, I'd expect it to be pretty reasonable. But I guess it could still rain, right? But
it's a crapshoot. Like,
if it's ever going to be a nice day, it's going to be this year. Look out there, right?
Like today, for instance, William, it's like 30 degrees when I wake up, and it's like 80 degrees now. Like, what are we doing here in Colorado?
Well, that's what it does.
It does. It does.
Hold on. Trying to get in here and see what the temperature actually is. Yeah, 76 it says down here, but you know, that's what we do here, but except we haven't had that rough weather so far this year. I thought it was fun, you know, that interview with Coach Niblett, you know, and he's talking about, oh, I thought it was going to be a lot worse for the winter. I was like, brother, you ain't been in a Colorado winter yet. You got a light one this year.
Yeah, Colorado's pretty awesome, though. I definitely enjoy it. We got a super chat from Patrick Williams, 3927. Good thing about this team is that Coach Prime doesn't have to carry this team. The coordinators were head coaches at one time and get the respect. Thank you, Patrick, for the super chat there.
Yeah, sure. And Coach Niblett said the same thing. You know, he's talking about, you know, that I think it was him in his interview talking about that his coordinator was a head coach and his other two coordinators were head coaches, and he was a head coach at the high school level. But nevertheless, he understands the ins and outs of all the things you got to do. And I think, quite frankly, you and I talked about this at some point before spring ball. In my view, Coach Prime's staff really let him down last year. And I don't know what that was all about. I wasn't in the room. I don't know if they were all jockeying to be the guy in charge when he was out, you know, trying to beat cancer or whatever, but I think he's got a staff this year that's all pulling in the same direction, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Last year was tough. 2026 is like such a pivotal year for this football program. Is it not?
Yeah. Well, I think it's critical for Coach Prime to show that what he's doing works, you know, and I think there's a legitimate excuse or explanation, whatever you want to call it, in him being so ill last spring. But now he's got to show that he's healthy and what he is doing and his vision is going to work. You know, I think he's got good staff brought in for the most part, pretty good choices on his staff, and we'll see how that plays out. Somebody asked who's going to coach the special teams, and it's going to be a joint effort. And that's common, frankly. Every team I've ever coached on, we didn't have a special teams coordinator, and we all took things. You know, I've said before, I always took kickoff coverage and punt coverage, you know. Never had a long return given up, because it's all about discipline and teaching and expectations. But I don't have any problem with that. I think Coach Nibbler was talking about, I can't remember what he said, but there was two specific teams that he wanted and he's got. So I think when you give a
you take ownership of that group, right? When you have a specific group. And right. If I was the head coach in college football, William, I would not have a special teams coordinator. I would have a specialist coach come in, work with the kickers, punters, long snappers, have them have the best resources. But from a day-to-day practice standpoint, you got to split that stuff. You have to.
Yeah, and you know, every staff I've been on, I said to the head coach, look, I'll take these two special teams. You don't have to worry about it, but you got to give me who I want, you know. And sometimes, you know, every now and then I say, well, you can't have that guy. Okay, fair enough. But for the most part, let the players play on special teams, and you can have good special teams, and you get what you emphasize, you know, and what you expect. Mm-hmm. I think it'll be fine. You know, I think we got some – I think in terms of our returns, we've got some premier. Quentin Gibson and Boo Carter are as exciting return kicks and punts as anybody out there.
Yeah, yeah. It was great to hear that Boo Carter is fitting in so far. We haven't heard anything bad so far. So I guess I'm taking that as good news.
Well, I don't, you know, I mean, who knows? He didn't do anything that's super egregious that I know of at Tennessee. He wasn't in trouble with the law or anything like that. Clearly there was some kind of disconnect between him and the coaches and the team, whatever. But sometimes that happens, you know, and I think you and Brian mentioned, for example, defensive back went to Florida. It was five-star.
Armani
McClain, right? Went to a new place, was a better fit, grew up, got his shit right, and he's doing fine, you know? And sometimes that's what it takes. I mean, you talk about 18, 19-year-old kids, and they're still kids, whether people like it or not, and they're growing and they're learning, and sometimes you just got to fit into the right place and have it work out. But, you know, hasn't been anything. The best thing to hear about Boo Carter is nothing, right?
Exactly.
Unless it's on the field, you know, plays, right? And so if there's nothing being said, everything's good as far as I'm concerned.
Yep. No doubt. Well, I ran through all my notes. William, you got anything else before we sign off here? I want to, again, give a shout out to Oliver Hayes and Leo Rivera and Will Burnett and Brian Howell and Sean Niehoff, everybody that's made this journey with us over to BuffStampede.com, or you can get the BuffStampede.com app through on three. Anything else you want to add here before we sign off?
Yeah, there's a very interesting note in the chat from Ant Hits Gang talking to Mr. Hunter about his son Demetrius being a true leader, and watched him tell a tackle, it's my call, and if I'm wrong, we're all wrong, and then we're all right. So, you know, what he's talking about is that generally speaking, your center makes your line calls. And, you know, if you got an offensive line where the center's making a call or whoever, to guard, whatever, and the other offensive line going, I don't agree with that, you got a problem, right? So you got to have a guy at that center position making those calls who demands respect, okay, and leads from that position. They don't got to be all yelling and carrying on, whatever. You know, some of our best centers at CU have been quiet dudes. Our your friend that you, our big guy that was now coaching kids.
Alex Kelly?
Alex Kelly, yeah. You know, and sometimes you show leadership. You don't necessarily have to show leadership by yelling and screaming and being the loudest guy in the group. But, you know, that statement there to me is what a leader does. You know, somebody wants to question you, you stand up and you say, this is what we're going to do, okay? You got a problem with it, we'll talk about it later, but right now this is what we're doing. So that's a good sign, and that's going to help with a cohesive offensive line, you know. And I think this is an offensive line friendly offense as well, for some of the reasons that people have said in the chat today. It gets the ball out fast, puts the defense on their heels and things like that. So I think it's going to be exciting to see what happens with this offense. I think we're going to wonder a little bit about that defensive front until we get into some games and see what happens.
Well, I'm glad we have two more weeks of spring ball, because I enjoy kind of just rehashing some of our analysis from the week and just analyzing Colorado football. William, always appreciate
analysis.
It's a new word. Yeah, look it up in the dictionary.
Is it Italian or something?
Yeah,
analyzing. Hey, and I never did get to watch. I never did get to watch The Godfather, but maybe I have it as a goal in life. I don't know. I've been watching The Terminal List and The Terminal List, Dark Wolf, and then a series called Night Agent. I like that kind of stuff.
Dude, get on the couch this afternoon and watch The Godfather. Like, why is this so hard for you?
I don't know. You know, I like films of guys kicking ass, so whatever.
Well, I mean, there's some of that, Godfather. You got to build up to it. All right.
Yeah.
No Italian blood in you, huh?
Well, anybody who's watched can see the video and can see me will not be surprised to hear that my DNA from Ancestry.com came back as 100% Northern European. I burst into flames if I'm in the sun too long.
All right, Big Mike 1065 says, Bill, you got to watch it. Come on, man. What are we doing here? I'm trying to make your weekend plans here right now.
Yeah, well, see, look what you're doing to me, man. I come on here, and now I got to be personable with people at the spring game and be nice, and I got to watch movies and. You know, I'm trying to
expand your horizons, William.
Get off my lawn.
Dante's 5009 said, never met an old man who hasn't watched The Godfather.
Well, I don't know. That's like the guy says, hey, you're a dirty old man. And I said, hey, I'm not that old. I need to explain.
All right. Well, I will get off your case, but. I'm actually, you have a week, William.
Oh, okay.
Full week. Like, what do you have going on this week? You can't watch The Godfather sometime this week?
Well, I think I'm actually starting a new job, a new retirement job. So I'll tell you about that. Okay. But
excuses, but okay. What about today? What do you have going on?
I got to finish a series I'm already watching, man. I'm, you know, my ADHD, my brain makes me finish things.
Okay.
It really does.
All right.
Like Sheldon.
I really am going to get off your case now.
No, you're not. You'll come up with something.
Yeah. All right. Well.
Sometimes I say too much, and Adam needs one of those buttons you push that can kind of block out the last 5 seconds or something.
The chat is going fun right now. We should probably end this show, though, because we are completely off Colorado football topics at this point. Yeah, but if you want to add anything, go for it.
Why don't you invite everybody on the chat to come have a burger with us at the Hungry Toad? I'd do that.
We will. Yeah, no, I want to do that. Hungry Toad in Boulder. The bar that is just off Pearl Street that has got the most amazing food, the most amazing beverages, and the most amazing
people. I always end up picking off your plate because I always get the burger because it's so good.
Yeah, the nachos are good. French onion soup is good. Burgers are good. What's not good there?
And there's nice to it. They're nice to switch in. You know, in my life, it's nice to have somebody nice to me, you know?
Yeah. All right. Well, William will not watch The Godfather. He did a good job.
Dante said Terminal List was good, though. You got to watch Terminal List Dark Wolf. It was freaking fantastic. So there you go.
Is that a TV show or a movie?
No, it's a series. It's like it's like what they do nowadays with 8 episodes in one season. And there's a second season coming out. And it's kind of a prequel to Terminal List.
Okay.
Yeah.
So homework for us the next month. A month from now, we're going to recap The Godfather and The Terminal List. Sound good?
All right, we'll do it.
All right, that's the end of today's show. The chat is still going crazy here, but I appreciate everybody out there for tuning in. William, appreciate you as always for joining me on the show. And we're going to find some expanded roles for you on BuffStampede.com going forward. And again, we'll be back next week.
See you later, baby. Colorado Army with soldiers like the Navy. Yeah. And Boulder's where we stationed, patiently awaiting. Whoa. When I hit the field, it's so hard to behave. Yeah. I'm Colorado swagging at the crowd, do the wave. Look into my eyes, I can tell that you afraid. Uh-huh. Cause you know we finna hit ya.
Hit ya.
Hit ya.
Hit ya.
Hey. Hey. You on your own now, why you watching the official? Yeah. You just better hope you make it to the next whistle. And we ain't playing with you, you can get it. In the middle of the ring, throwing blows, knocking down team after team.
I think they like my Colorado swag, cause when I'm in that play, I don't really.